welcome to the Entrepreneur Success Formula weekly podcast, where we'll be getting down to earth with real entrepreneurs who work hard and know that success is more than just a mindset. It takes blood, guts, and a bucket full of luck to survive and thrive in the world of business today. And in this episode, I'm speaking with Avi Lasaro, the CEO of Prenetics and DNA Fit. Avi has dedicated over a quarter of his life in the relentless pursuit of science and technological innovation and has been driven to pioneer and humanize DNA science that for so long has been unreachable, unexplainable, and unaffordable. Avi now helps everyone from consumers to elite sports people to understand how their DNA affects their response to fitness and nutrition changes. So Avi, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much for having me here. And of course, when you say bucket of luck, luck is where opportunity meets preparation. Hate to use a cliche, but certainly it's all hard work.
Absolutely, absolutely. No, I like that. Brilliant. Thank you very much. And I'm really excited about the show because this episode, because I have a particular interest in what you do. So let's get into the meat and drink of it, shall we? So just tell me how you started the company and how you got your first customer.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've obviously been working really for myself for a number of years. Different ideas. Have had a couple of exits now, actually, which I'm very pleased to say, but ultimately it's like anything, right? I mean, you know, you have an idea, you want to obviously see that idea come into reality. So you start putting together some concepts and you start bringing it to life by setting up a website and setting up a proposition for your customers. And then ultimately you know, at least certainly in my case, you hit the ground running and you make things happen. And as things start to happen, you start to scale and you obviously can then refine your product and get a better experience for your customers and then you grow. So you know, that's really the focus and how I started.
Okay, how long have you been going then?
So DNA Fit itself as a brand has been going now for just over 5 years. You know, we were acquired about 1 year ago from by a company called Prenetics, which stands for Preventative Genetics. And of course, you know, as you indicated at the onset, you know, I still wear two hats. One is very much the CEO of DNA Fit, and the other one is the CEO of Prenetics International. And, you know, although very the different product offerings from both businesses, we have a common vision, which is ultimately to, you know, really empower people to take control of their health using genetics and digital applications.
Fantastic. Just a little bit of a background. How did you get to do this particular role? I mean, what is your background?
Yeah, I mean, so my background, you know, I'm very much just very entrepreneurial. You know, I didn't find necessarily university was where I wanted to be at the time and had a hunger to go out into the wide world and ultimately, you know, make a difference. And I say particularly make a difference, not make money, because I have a philosophy that if you make a difference, the money follows. Not always easy, because naturally starting a business and being entrepreneurial is actually about having the money to do what you want to do in the first place. So it's kind of a chicken and egg. But ultimately, you know, to answer your question, you know, I just have had a passion for doing my own things. And as I've had more successes, I realized that anything is possible. And if you can put your mind to whatever that vision might be, you can achieve it. And I proved that to myself time and time again.
Fantastic. Right. What has been the biggest mental challenge you've had to overcome as an entrepreneur?
In terms of the biggest mental challenge to overcome, I mean, I have to say, as most entrepreneurs will know, that there's just so many mental challenges. Having resilience, I think, is a very big thing, by the way, that you can cope with mental challenges of multitude numbers over the course and duration, because being an entrepreneur takes a toll on your soul. And that doesn't mean to sound negative, but it is a reality, I'm afraid. But so to answer your question, you know, what is the most difficult challenge? Look, I mean, sometimes it's just actually, you know, it's sort of seen through the grind to actually have the confidence that your idea is one that's going to take off. So, you know, if you have an idea, you get it to a certain point and you believe this is going to be the next big thing or it's going to be so successful, then I think often you go through the process. And as you're doing it, you sort of tend to find that, hey, maybe those successes aren't coming as quick as you think they're coming. And at points in time, you might even doubt not just the process, but you doubt yourself, you doubt your thinking. But ultimately, I think it's, you know, the challenge is being able to, you know, overcome not succeeding initially, finding a balance between what is definitely going to work and what you believe is going to work with the actual reality that's out there. So it's not an easy question to answer, as you can see. I'm trying to give you an answer, but going through the process in my mind, you know, there's no one challenge to overcome as an entrepreneur. I mean, there's lots of challenges. I think ultimately it's the ability to know that your idea is one that's going to work, be real to the fact that it might not be working, but at the same time, understand that the might not be working might not be that you're not going to succeed. It just might not be you going through a few hiccups rather than it being a bad product, if that makes sense.
Yep. No, I like that a lot. Thank you very much. Well, if you had to start over again from scratch, what's the one thing you would do differently?
Well, I think, look, in, I've had now a couple of successful exits, and and it's all been from organic growth. And I think that in the future, I probably will, in fact, almost certainly will go down the route of, you know, taking a seed round and then looking sort of for series A, B, C, D, and then exit the more traditional way, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, that it's almost, you know, the future almost is more certain somewhat. I think if you are just doing things organically and a bit scrappy, I think, you know, it's very much touch and go, you know, sort of food to mouth on a month-by-month basis. Whereas if you go down the traditional, more structured route, I think that definitely would be the one that I would follow next. But of course, to do that in the first place, you've got to have a great business, a great idea, and also you've got to have some great track record to make sure that you get the investment you want to actually get into that space in the first place.
Okay. What piece of advice would you give to any young entrepreneur starting out today in today's current climate?
So firstly, I don't think age is really relevant anymore. So I'll give you a good example. As a company, you know, and it's just entrepreneurially, what we tend to do is we tend to always give back. You know, I think it's very, very important from a karma perspective in business. And, you know, I recently had a student in, he was 15, and he came for some work experience. And as a company, we thought, hey, you know, we don't just want to do work experience because it ticks a box and, hey, we're doing something great for a sort of, corporate social responsibility perspective. I want to make sure that anybody who comes to work with us, no matter what age, can actually make an impact and realize the value of what they're worth, even at, say, 15. And, you know, in this person's case, obviously he came in and, he was wearing a pair of Nikes and he was like, you know, just wearing some certain clothing. And the first thing I said to him as a 15-year-old was like, hey, why have you got Nikes? And he said, well, I really like those. I said, well, why don't you go for, say, you know, Adidas? He was like, no, I just really like the Nikes. I was like, okay, well, that's because you might not realize, but you have a brand loyalty to Nike. And then I got into unpacking, or the team did at least, my team got into unpacking, you know, the difference between brands and what they are. And in his case was about Nike versus, you know, the other options that he had. So that was the first sort of, you know, couple of days of his work experience with us. And then from there, as a company, actually, we didn't have a Snapchat address. And we spoke about, you know, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world and how these young guys just use digital and how digital is the way to go. And then ultimately we looked at and got him to look at some digital activity that was taking place, correlating it back to the brand on our brand, DNA Fit, but, you know, within the competitive landscape. And then from there, what he did was he then obviously, of course, as a company, did our first, post on Snapchat at the end of his tenure with us. But the key is, you know, as I try to articulate here, is that it really doesn't matter what age you are to become an entrepreneur to make a difference. I don't think one has to have a formal education. I think what you've got to have is a belief system. I think you've got to have a belief system in yourself. You've got to have a belief system that the world around you is open to innovation. And if you can innovate, then you can fit very well within that. And hopefully when he actually wrote a letter to our company expressing his, how thrilled he was with the experience and certainly how he explained it to his class, they were a bit jealous. And the key is that I think no matter what age you are, if you've got innovation, you've got passion, you've got drive, and you've got a vision, I think you can make it happen almost certainly.
Excellent. I absolutely agree with that. What's the best piece of advice ever been given to you by someone else? And if you can actually name them, that's great. But if you can't, that's also great.
The best piece of advice that I was ever given to me, was given to me by anybody else. I mean, I'm casting through a number in my head as we speak in real time, but I think my father probably, and he said to me that my name is more important to me than anything. And, you know, you've got to watch where you put your signature. And, you know, that's always very much stayed in my subconscious and conscious mind. And, you know, whatever I do in business, I always put that to the forefront, you know, of activity. So if I make a commitment, whether it's in writing or not, I always try follow in all attempts with sort of action of, you know, of my integrity, if that makes sense. So I always make sure that's applied in every base of what we do and how we do it.
That's great. Great piece of advice. So whereabouts is your business based? Because that's going to affect the next question.
No problem at all. So, I mean, we have offices globally, but, I certainly sit here in the St. Pancras area of London. We have an office in Orpington in Kent, which does logistics and sort of financial control. We have an office in South Africa. We have one in Hong Kong, China as well.
Okay, let's go for the UK one then. So if you were in charge of UK business right now, and let's pretend that Brexit is over, what legislation would you introduce to help fellow entrepreneurs?
Oh, that's a really tough question. Well, I think you know, I have to say that I think the UK actually, from an exit perspective, I think they have a really good relief system called Entrepreneurs Relief. So if you exit actually within your lifetime, you pay 10% tax on the capital gain that you make up to a certain limit, which is really great. So I'd probably legislate to increase that limit so I have more motivation to make more of a difference to ultimately get a better return.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good one. What are your plans for the future and how do you plan to grow the business globally?
Yeah, so future-wise, I'm very passionate on the topic of preventative health. So when we started DNA Fit was very much about, hey, how can we help people eat right for their body and make a difference based on their genetics for their body? And in terms of exercise, it was how do we actually prove that genetics can help people get better outcomes? And when I say people, professional athletes, Olympic teams, and just general consumers. And if it's professional athletes, how can we get them more gold medals or get them gold medals based on genetics and prove it works? If it's a consumer, how can you just live a more active lifestyle to be healthier and prevent lifestyle disease? And I think the key thing for me is that as we shifted into the Prenetics group, I very much believe in the actual mandate of the brand, what we're trying to do, and personally, but making a difference to millions of people's lives by using genetics. We now live in a world where there's a huge acceleration in research around genetics. And even here in the UK particularly, there's the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, is now implementing personalized medicine in the NHS. And our goal is to certainly do a lot of research, but also drive some of that thinking further in private practice and make sure that we roll out preventative health strategies using DNA here in the UK, but globally as well. So we're definitely a global company. As I said, we're in a number of countries already, and we help hundreds of thousands of people actually stay healthier by understanding the genetics. And the key is just to try and take that as mainstream as possible and become the de facto brand that people turn to when they think about doing a DNA test for their health.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Actually, I'm going to go off piece very slightly because my girlfriend has an underactive thyroid, and it's one of the reasons why she can't do what I do, which is I do intermittent fasting every day. And that's been an absolute lifestyle change and a wonderful thing, discovery for me, because I used to do yo-yo dieting, and now I just find it's incredibly I'm just very easy to be incredibly healthy by doing intermittent fasting. She can't do that. She can't actually do that because she needs to have a constant, sort of drip feed of energy throughout the day. Would DNA Fit help with understanding sort of current conditions like an underactive thyroid?
Yeah. So by the way, I relate to that because I intermittent fast myself, and it does a number of things in such a positive way. And that's just actually tantamount to the way the world is going. People are understanding that there's more and more you can do with your health, and they actually are proactively doing exactly that. So it's not dissimilar with genetic testing for let's call it lifestyle diseases and overall health. Unfortunately, not particularly. Well, we don't offer anything around the thyroid issue, but we definitely look at things like lifestyle diseases. So sort of the three highs: high cholesterol, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes. And ultimately, if you know you have a predisposition to any of those, for example, lifestyle diseases, then you can definitely do something about it by changing your lifestyle. And what we find with our data, for example, one of our customers, Prudential, on their public deck, their public company, looked at 45,000 people. And you can see some of the information that once people understood the reason why they were given a certain dietary intervention or a certain lifestyle intervention, like the particular exercise program, if the origin of that intervention came from a genetic test, there was much higher adherence to actually that intervention. And that's really important because once we know the blueprint of our body, you're more inclined to stick to the intervention you're given. And I think that's where the benefit of genetic testing comes in, certainly for the example you speak about lifestyle diseases. So if I know, for example, I have a higher risk of stroke than the average person in the population, then I'm going to think twice during the week of having those extra, Reuben sandwiches, for example, because I know, hey, that's going to impact my health. And that's kind of the mindset, so it's a change in mindsets. But as the world again moves forward towards understanding their health better through all these technologies, I think people ultimately, hopefully, start to get healthier. And, we as a company would love to be a big, play a big part in that change on a population health perspective.
I love that. She actually got it when she had the pregnancy of her second child. It was as a result of the pregnancy, bizarrely.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and then of course events such as that do change the body. So you know you would then look to obviously find more ways to actually just have a healthier lifestyle and live in a longer, you know, sort of happier, healthier life, right? So
mm-hmm. Absolutely. And lastly, what's your favorite business book and why?
Favorite business book is the recent one about Theranos. So the name escapes me. Bad Blood, I think it is. Not a business book. It's rather a book about a business. and the reason why I love that book so much is because, you know, you can kind of get into the mindset of this, you know, somebody that had an idea and how far they would actually take the idea to get to success. And clearly what she did perhaps initially was a great idea and it was starting to get progress. But I think in her case, she obviously went off the rails in terms of how far she would take it. And that was clearly what not to do. But nevertheless, it was quite exciting to read it and just to see what actually could go wrong.
Wow, that sounds great. I'm going to listen to that one. I mean, or even read it. I'll say, if anyone is listening to this and hears some snoring in the background, that's actually my 12-year-old Labrador, Ella, who's fast asleep, but she's also stone deaf, so she can't hear how loudly she snores, just in case anyone was wondering. Brilliant. Avi, thank you so much for taking part in today's show and this brief delve into the real lives of real entrepreneurs. Anyone listening to this, can I ask you to share this podcast with anyone who you think works hard and to like us on iTunes? And if you're watching it on YouTube as well, please comment below and hit the subscribe button. And if you'd like to take part in the show, simply drop me an email at damien@rethinkingbusiness.biz and we can have a chat. And Avi, every guest on this show receives a complimentary copy of my online course by the same name, The Entrepreneur Success Formula. So here's to your own success. And where can people get hold of you?
Yes, so people can get hold of me. I mean, you can find me on Instagram, actually, Avi Lazaro, or just drop us an email at avi@dnafit.com.
Fantastic. Avi, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.